Perfect. Hi, hello everybody, and welcome into episode number 8 of Racing Refresh Happy Hour. I'm Logan Loganity Morris. This episode is titled, and I think appropriately so, Perplexing Penalties. I believe we are also live for the first time on our YouTube channel, so a special shout out to all the viewers that are tuning in from YouTube. We also appreciate you on Facebook and Twitter and everywhere else that you might see this lovely podcast with my lovely dome piece, but I'm not doing it alone. It's a bit of a bare bones crew this week, but believe me, they wouldn't just let me host this thing. Bringing in my co-host for the evening, my second favorite Canadian. I'm talking about the man himself. It's Adam from Canada. There's no stupid questions. Adam Carabine, come on in. How are you, brother?
I am well, thank you, Logan. How are you?
I'll tell you what, I'm just daggum excited to do a show with pretty much strictly you.
Just me.
Producer Peggy is behind the scenes, but she is managing a lot of things at the moment. So she's producing, but does not have time to be on the show this week. So it's pretty much just me and you on here. We definitely went with the best looking crew for the week. I appreciate that. No offense to Colin, but
I'll take it. You know, he's not here to beat me up, so I'll take it.
Absolutely. He's places, and if we get the go ahead to tell you where he is, we will be glad to do so. Ryan Hill, thank you for tuning in. A lot to talk about this week, and hopefully you can help us do it. Because
he's got some yelling to do, apparently. So,
look, I'm going to need I don't mean to take any shots at anybody here, but we are official credential NASCAR media, so I would need you to sign a lot of paperwork in a hurry. But please comment. You got to take some weird sensitivity thing. Adam, before we really get going here, let's just give an overarching thought. What a week, and we're only Wednesday in the NASCAR world, right?
I know. Yeah. Well, and we also have lots to catch up on, because we missed you last week. We had some illness going on. You guys were almost stuck with just me last week, which would have been more disastrous than this is right now, having me as co-host. So we got lots to catch up on.
I think it's going to be one of the greatest shows we've ever done. Certainly it's going to be the greatest show we've ever done on April 5th, 2023.
I think that's safe to say. Absolutely. Yeah,
that's fair, right? Wouldn't you say so?
I think that's fair. Yeah, the best one on this day in history. And also present.
It's like those petty posts I love to send you.
That's right.
Best day in history. All right. So again, Peggy is producing behind the scenes, but again, she's a little indisposed as far as doing a lot of things. So first, what we're going to do is this. We're going to do a little weekend review. Hit that graphic for me one good time. Oh, it's beautiful.
That was good timing too with that punch. Nice, yeah, nice job there, Logan. I like it.
You know, I've been a little lackluster to start the year, but I'm bringing it right now. There you go. So, Ryan, feel free to keep on commenting. We do appreciate all the good comments, my friend. Zane Smith, one of the trucks. AJ Allmendinger did his thing at Coda. Now, let's remember, Zane Smith, one of the trucks at Texas. Oh, man.
No, rewind, Logan.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the weekend at Coda because we didn't even get a chance to talk about it.
Oh, my bad.
Zane Smith won at Coda in the trucks. We had AJ Allmendinger win at Xfinity. And then Tyler Reddick won at Coda in the cup race.
Mm-hmm. And the cup race had all those restarts, I recall.
Yes, it was an exciting race up until the last 3 hours of restarts. But
Coda is quite the experiment. Let's talk here quickly about what'd you think of the we got to talk about the lack of stage breaks in at Coda. What'd you think?
I liked it, you know, so this is embarrassing sometimes for me to admit, but I have only ever known stage racing in NASCAR.
Oh, you young time, are you?
I know, yeah. I started becoming a fan in 2019, so I'm super late to the party. So for me, it was kind of something new and exciting for me. I know that's kind of like a throwback to the old school for many others, but I thought it was great. I'm someone who enjoys like fuel and tire strategy when I watch a race. That kind of gets me excited for stuff. So to have the stage breaks not actually be in there, but to still award those stage points, I was all on board. And honestly, I could see it working at all tracks. I don't know if that's something we're interested in getting all the way back to, but certainly it added an extra exciting wrinkle strategy wise.
Look, I want to let me start with this caveat. I mean, could I watch NASCAR the old school way again, no stage racing? Absolutely, and I would probably enjoy the product. But I did find myself going, I kind of miss the, I don't know, it's that built-in break to go to the bathroom and make your sandwich or whatever have you, and you know it's going to bring back the action. Now, on its face, let's be honest about it, on its face, if we're racing, controversial Loganity statement incoming. Stage racing is a little stupid. I mean, you think about it. No other sport says, hey, let's go ahead and tighten up that lead for you. No other racing sport says that. Football doesn't say that. The closest you can come is at halftime where they give you the ball potentially, but they don't change the score. So on its face, I understand why people are critical of stage racing. I mean, again, it's the only sport where if you build a 2-3-4 second lead, 7 seconds, sometimes when in Petty's day, you were lapping the field. It is kind of perplexing and frustrating I got to give this lead up just because you throw an arbitrary caution. As a driver, yeah, I can understand being pretty PO'd about that. But as a viewer, and that, let's be honest, and no one likes to say this, but NASCAR is in the entertainment business. Yes, it is a sport. No, it is not predetermined. It's not fixed or rigged. But if you're on TV in today's world especially, you are in the entertainment business. That's the way it rolls. And from an entertainment standpoint, there is that layer of uncertainty with each restart because people start driving like pissed off teenagers, especially the deeper we get into a race. And that adds that layer of uncertainty and excitement. Is it frustrating? Yes. But, you know, it's the way it goes. Now, again, I want to say I could watch No Stage Racing ever again and be fine because on its face, it's pretty daggum silly. But I did find myself going, oh, there's that lull I remember. There's that. Yeah, I remember that where we would just kind of ride around for a while. And
right.
So Ryan says, I love stage racing and the caution at the end of stages. I do like the idea of doing away with stage break for road courses, though. It adds the fuel mileage factor that those races need, but leave stage breaks in at the other tracks. I agree with you, Ryan. Usually I don't agree on you how to spell cat if you spotted us to see in the A. But I agree with you 100% on that. I really do. I think that's the way you go because the fuel mileage aspect, you miss that. Plus, NASCAR right now is all about those game seven moments, right? That's what we're trying to create. Well, I think the fuel mileage aspect helps that, because every now and again you got those surprise winners. I mean, I remember Marcus Ambrose winning for Richard Petty, getting him back in victory lane. It probably doesn't happen if we're under the stage break situation. What say you about that, Adam? I know that you say I'm okay if we do away with it, but what if we just keep it how it is? I think that might be the best route to go.
Yeah, just to keep it at road courses only. Yes. You mean? Yeah. I think that's fair. I also understand, like, the more green flag racing you have, the more chance you have of going to commercial during green flag racing. You know, the nice thing about the stage ends and the cautions that come with it is that, you know, there's a predetermined time for commercials where, you know, they're running around under caution. We don't need to see that necessarily, unless someone's really going crazy out there. But
might hit the pace car or something.
Yeah, you never know. Kyle Busch.
Might pull a Juan Pablo Montoya.
Yeah, the old jet dryer.
Yeah.
See, I wasn't watching back then, but I know the legend of the jet dryer.
Oh, the legend of the jet dryer. And even Brad Carey said, you ain't gonna believe this. I gotta tweet this out.
But yeah, I think on ovals, yeah, I think it's dangerous to not have those stage cautions. I understand what you're saying, Logan, and that, like, is it a weird construct that NASCAR has just made up to, like, bunch the field back up again? I guess so, yeah. And is it weird because it rewards doing well in the middle of the race? Like, you're saying in football, like, no one gets points, extra points, just for leading at halftime.
Yeah.
Would be kind of weird, you know. So I get it, but I nice also 3-point
bonus there at the end of halftime, yeah, because, like, you led all the first half. Yeah,
good job, right? So I don't know. I hear what you're saying. But to add that extra strategy on road courses, yeah, I'm on board to keep it just for road courses for now. Maybe I need to go back and watch an old timey race and get a feel for the old the lull, as you called it, I think. So.
those old times, yes, I recall them. It's where you, especially during the Daytona 500, we're riding around for 400 miles till we started thinking about moving. All right, but you're always on the edge of your seat. It's really bad for anxiety folks like myself, because you're riding around on the edge of your seat, but you know they're not really going to do anything, but you don't know. All right, so I got to tell you, and I want your take on this, Adam. I think it's, if we're not going to shift how we drive, and we're not going to, because NASCAR drivers drive like this. They take it to the floor until they see God, then they break. That's how this sport has always worked. It comes from, of course, you know, bootlegging back in the day. That's the way this sport is wired. This sport is not wired for COTA. We have proven that. It's just not. Now, don't get me wrong, they can do it, but they're not going to slow down. And so you're going to have 45,000 restarts.
Right.
These cars and this style of racing, which in my opinion, humble, is the greatest racing in the world. These are the greatest drivers in the world, in my view. But it's not built for COTA. That hairpin turn at turn one there, it's not. We have proven that's not. It's a nice experiment. It's a good market because it keeps it in Texas. I know Texas is down to the one day at Texas Motor Speedway. I respect the fact that it's a good market. I respect the fact it's a nice, it's a tribute to every great track that we know in this entire world, this entire landscape. I respect all those things. But this track and this style of driving go together like oil and water. It's tomatoes and bowling shoes. And it just doesn't work. Like, it doesn't make sense.
Quick aside, I don't know where you come up with these things, Logan. It's very good. Thank you. Tomatoes and bowling shoes. A classic combo. Yeah.
Exactly. You get my point. Like, it's not built for this.
Yeah.
Ruin that. Tyler Reddick won, and he was the best car all day, and he should have won that race. That's fine. That's fair. That's standing. And I know he's one of your guys, so you're over there with a little, I know you got the little butterfly.
I was pleased to see it. Yeah. I was pleased to see him win, but not even just because I was not because I'm a fan of his. I think he's a nice guy, but I also
some more comments on Racing Refresh's Facebook don't agree with you at all.
I know. Yeah. I don't know what's going on. Some real Kylo Reddit haters out there.
I thought that was the funniest thing. But yeah, anywho.
Did someone say he's a real piece of work in different words.
And I love that you came back on your personal page and then they didn't give you a reason. They just reiterated what they thought, which I thought was beautiful.
No, but I was happy he won because not because of who he is, but I was just happy that the best car won that after that kind of crazy finish that with all the restarts. I don't know. Yeah, it is kind of an embarrassing look for the sport. I gotta say, when you get these so-called road course ringers coming in, you know, the Jensen Buttons and the Jordan Taylors who are coming in, and it's like, oh, these guys are like road course guys. This is, you know, we're gonna check this out, and they're like, wow, this is terrible because we just got bumped around in that first corner like nobody's business.
Jordan Taylor got beat around like he was a lotto ball.
Seriously, yeah, I don't know. Is that a good look for the sport? Like. But do you chalk that up to Coda, or is that just like some poor aggressive driving? Like
that's both. Because keep in mind, you're going into turn one of Coda, you got that little hairpin turn. There's for that aggressive type of racing that this sport breeds. I mean, it's in the DNA of this sport, which I'd hate to see these people in traffic on the freeway. all 37 of you probably are awful, and so. In my view, I agree with Ryan again. Coda needs to go away in terms of, yes, good market. Yes, historical track because it pays tribute to so many historic tracks throughout the world.
Well, it's a beautiful facility too. Like, but don't get me wrong, it looks great on TV. And
but it ain't meant for us. But it was pulling teeth. And people say, well, should you adjust the overtime rules? No, you shouldn't. You need to do everything you can to finish a race under green. That's the way I view it. Finishing a race under caution is the absolute most anticlimactic. You're telling me I didn't commit 3 hours of my time and we're going to finish this thing under caution? I gave you 3 hours of my time, sometimes four. Yeah. Daytona, I give you all day because you got pre-race coverage starting at like noon. We have to end races under green. And people say, well, the best car should win. Okay, then let's do time trials. To hell with Sunday.
Yeah.
To hell with Sunday, the best car should win.
Yep.
Then what are we doing it for? Was Eric Jones the best car at the Southern 500? No. No, he wasn't.
No. But he deserved the win because he pulled it off.
Look, he was like Dr. John. He was right place right. And Dr. John says right place, wrong time. Well, that was Kyle Busch, unfortunately. You know that little tune right there? So it's people that say, well, the best car needs to win. I hear you. I get it. If it was my guy, I'd be right there with you with pitchforks. But in reality, if it's all about best car wins, let's do time trials and let's scrap Sunday. Anywho, we got to get to moving because a lot of things have been said since Coda. Yep. All right. Carson Hocifar, one of the trucks at Texas, and this got...
First time winner, Carson Hocifar. First time winner,
that's lovely. That's lovely.
Good for him.
Yes. But this got a little bit... I'm going to use a very big boy word here. If you don't understand it, look it up. I get it. This got pretty yucky. This got absolutely yucky. With the Dean Thompson wreck, and it again proves the dangers of this sport. Give me your thoughts.
Yeah, I'm like some of those spotters. I don't know what was happening. Like Dean Thompson's clearly around. Caution is, even if caution hasn't been officially thrown yet, which I'm pretty sure it had been. What are people doing? Gearing up and hitting the gas, like. This is, you know, someone's going to die. And then we're going to have to like really take a look in the mirror there. But yeah, I don't know if it's, I read something about how a lot of the normal spotters for the truck series, because they also do Xfinity and Cup teams, they weren't there because the race was one off in Texas. Mm-hmm. The rest of the crew was all in Richmond and obviously Cup Series takes precedence. So, they were all kind of backup spotters. I don't know if that plays a role, but man, that that was not a good good looking wreck, and I'm just glad that Team Thompson's okay.
Completely agree with you. It was reminiscent of that Austin Dillon Daytona wreck where he's getting destroyed, and then all of a sudden here comes Brad Kay like 30 minutes later, what it felt like, and he nails Austin Dillon. It's like, what are you doing? Didn't you like veer, swerve? Did somebody say something to you? Did somebody hit you with the low, 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 low? Like that's just, to me, it's perplexing that it's baffling that something can't be done a little quicker from a spotter standpoint. If that's the best we can do, we can go ahead and call the race. Chandler Smith got the win at Xfinity, and that's a big win for him. We know he's on the cusp of big things in the Xfinity series. Adam, I want your take on this. I've talked to some buddies, matter of fact, same buddies we all have. I'm surprised that Cole Custer hasn't made his presence felt here this season thus far in the Xfinity Series. Are you surprised by that? And go ahead and give me your thoughts on Chandler's win as well.
Yeah, I mean, congrats to Chandler, rookie this year in the Xfinity Series. He was one of the final four in the Truck Series last year, so it's cool to just see someone moving up and doing well as they keep doing that, because, you know, he's someone we'll have to watch for in the Cup Series soon. I mean, he was actually in the Cup Series race, but, you know, he'll be making his way up there sooner rather than later for sure. So congrats to him. As far as Cole Custer goes, it's kind of baffling. I don't know. Is this like an attitude issue? Like, does he feel like he doesn't belong there because he's been in Cup and he has a Cup win? You know, is it that sort of thing? But he's not even the best on his team. I mean, he's racing the double zero for Stuart Haas, and you got Riley Herbst kind of showing him up there. So I don't know. Yeah. What do you think? Is that attitude? Is that just Stuart Haas has kind of not been its best, you know, both in the Cup and Xfinity level, but yeah, I don't know. You go ahead. I'm baffled by it.
I'm like you. I am flummoxed by the fact that Cole Custer's not. I thought he would pretty much dominate, and maybe he will. We're still so early in the season, folks. I mean, I know that we're now, what is this going to be, the eighth race this weekend? We have till November. All right. We'll be thinking about cooking turkeys here in the good old US of A by the time this season's done. All right. That's how long this thing goes. We got the holiday plans and the whole nine. It's a long season. I'm talking about you're going to sweat and get chilly again here in the good old US of A by the time this year's over. That's how this works. I don't know what you guys do with Thanksgiving. I think Canada does it weirdly.
We do. It's about the same, but it's just a different weekend than you guys.
What weekend you do the Thanksgiving deal?
It's in October. I don't know.
So it's going to get chilly for you too. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. I just double checked. Sorry. I'm checking my notes here. We got Riley Herbst is 42 points ahead of Cole Custer in the standings before Richmond.
Look, Cole Custer coming into the year. Cole Custer was one of my championship favorites, and again, early could still happen.
Absolutely,
but yeah, I think he's having trouble readjusting, and I'm sure his morale's a little down. You had a pretty solid ride. Anytime you have a Cup Series ride, you're doing what you want to do. But I mean, all kidding aside, Stuart Haas, until about the last year or two, is one of the premier teams, and even now they're not a slouch by any means. They're just in a bit of a downward trend. I personally believe, Luganity take again, that Stuart Haas in its current form will not be around in 3 years. And what I mean by that is on the ownership side. I think we could see some changes there. I'm purely guessing. I have nothing to base that off of. Just reading some tea leaves is all I'm doing. So, but yeah, I think Cole Custer, it might be a morale issue. And it could be, you know, are you giving Herbst the best resources? That's always a thought with Cup teams and Xfinity teams. Who's getting the money? I feel like maybe the old change of scenery might be needed for Cole Custer. Again, I don't want to overreact. We could be talking in 6 weeks and Cole Custer's gone on that Cole Custer type Xfinity run we saw before and are expecting again. But I am absolutely puzzled by his. I don't want to say struggles. He hasn't really struggled, but his lack of success is pretty loud right now. So we'll see what happens. All right.
Sorry. I double checked after Richmond because I hadn't updated my sheet yet, but now it's actually 69 point difference now between Riley Herbst and Cole Custer after Richmond. So,
well, you just
not so nice, I guess, for Cole Custer. But
Adam Kindbine, stat chat himself coming through, 69 points. Yeah, it's just baffling.
Yeah,
like when he came down there, everybody in our group of pals was like, "Look out!" Look, because we saw what he did in the Xfinity Series before. It's why he got the Stewart Haas ride. We figured that he was going to absolutely dominate, and that just hasn't been the case. Can it change? Absolutely. But you don't want to hit the panic button too early. But Cole Custer might be racing for his NASCAR career.
I'm sure he could find a
low level ride somewhere. I don't want to overstate and be melodramatic, but as far as a prime time level series team, you're racing for your life. So yep. I hope Cole Custer gets it figured out, because right now he's got it up against the wall. All right, Kyle Larson won the Cup Up race at Richmond. Anyone that dreamed or thought that Kyle Larson wasn't going to win this year, you can some dreams just have to die. That's what I've quickly found out over the course of my 28 years. And so Kyle Larson, he gets it done at Richmond. I got to tell you, I was having lunch with a buddy of ours, Mr. Mike Daffner. So I didn't see this one as in tune as I usually do. I was neck deep in some chicken wings and getting the info on how fantasy league points work and the whole nine.
You missed out. It was actually a really entertaining race. Last I saw the Jeff Gluck poll had it at 80% approval, which is quite solid. What I love about tracks like Richmond is the tire degradation, and what a, you know, it hurts me a little bit to say that because my guy Martin Truex was a victim of that. But as far as making for an exciting race, I find that makes it a little more exciting for me. So I cut you off though. Go ahead.
Oh, that's all right. I'm too much of a loudmouth anyway. But that's why I'm on this show. All right. I do want to touch on Ryan's comment where he says, I dream of Logano going winless each year. You know what? You're damn right I do. You're damn right I do. Why? Because I want you to stop smiling. I mean, look at the smile on his face in that profile picture. Doesn't that just turn your stomach a little bit? I mean, I'm getting queasy. Man. All right, so
poor Ryan. He can't really defend himself. We can pick and choose when we show his comments up here. So,
all right, well, we got to move it along. He ain't my champion. He ain't my champion.
He is the reigning champion.
That's you been.
All right, moving on. We got stuff to get to.
We got stuff to get to. Let's touch on, and there's a lot, our happy hour headlines. Look, nothing like neon. And when Logano's your champion, I understand what people drink. All right.
Just like neon.
Suarez versus Chastain and Bowman at the end of the Coda race. Of course.
That's like old news now, but I thought, we should mention it.
I mean, look, are you going to disagree as teammates? We see football players yelling at each other all the time. You're going to disagree? It happens. That's called a relationship. Adam, you and I are closer. We're tighter than a skater's pants.
Yeah, we never disagree on anything.
But we've had many of disagreements on a lot of different things.
It happens. It happens.
And I mean, like I said, we're tighter than a skater's pants. We've disagreed a whole lot. I love Ryan. I'd take a bullet for him. But I'd spend my days disagreeing with that young man. All right. Hendrick gets third point penalty rescinded. But colleague only got... Colleague gets theirs docked to 75. Boy, yeah. Howdy.
This is a big one. I'm going to let you go first. I'm going to let you go.
You know who won the pony?
I'm going to hang up and listen to you talk.
Oh, God. This is tough to... This is... All right, folks. Let's go ahead and call a spade a spade. We've got to get that made a t-shirt because I say it too often. If you want to tell me favoritism didn't play a role in this, that's fine. You can tell me that all you want to. But you are, in a word, delusional. There is absolutely no earthly reason why Hendrick and colleagues shouldn't have got the same amount of break or the same amount of stiffness. It should have been. It was. They were in the same penalty report. It was the same thing, to our knowledge. So unless there is a damn good explanation from NASCAR in the coming days, and I mean it better talk the legs off my table, then I don't think there's any excuse. Ryan, I got to agree with you. The thing about it is, and I love NASCAR and I love this sport, and I'm proud to cover it. Really am. I'm proud to cover it, proud to be a fan. But I got to call it how I see it here. NASCAR's had favoritism since the day it was founded. NASCAR has had favoritism since the day it was founded. We know the Jeff Gordon, Clint Bowyer situation. We know that. We know that there's been moments where someone of Kyle Busch's caliber should have probably been suspended and he wasn't. We've seen that time and time again. You can go back to Richard Petty in the 80s. Win number 198 at Charlotte. It was found he had an illegal engine. Illegal engine. Anyone else probably would have got the win stripped away. He got a points reduction, a big-time points reduction for that matter, and he got a serious fine. Petty Enterprises did his organization. But the win stood, and I will go to my grave believing the win stood because you ain't taking a win away from Richard Petty. That's why if Legacy Motor Club wins this year, you can kiss the baby on the whole let's go ahead and the post-race inspection. Ryan says, supposedly this decision is because the board members were not the same board members who made the HMS decision. Well, what are we doing? How about some consistency?
Yeah, that's a common thing that people are asking for when it comes to any penalties that are handed down by NASCAR. And this is, it's not a good look. I've said it a couple times today, and I feel bad. I'm not trying to rag on this sport. I love this sport, and I love watching it, but that is just super strange. I hope that there is, because this news is pretty fresh today. I hope that there's some explanation that comes down, and maybe colleague did something different with their louvers, and that resulted in a harsher penalty for them. I don't know.
I think as wishful thinking. It looks like favoritism on its face. It absolutely does. And NASCAR could have helped itself by giving a detailed explanation to go along with it. They did not do that.
Not yet.
You could have given me pages upon pages as to why this is different. They could defend themselves. Yeah. So far that has not happened. Now it might, you're right. This is a couple hours old. All right. This is countertop pizza. You can go ahead and grab all you want of it. And so I just don't understand. I just don't understand how every sport has got some serious issues when it comes to favoritism. Every sport. A veteran hitter like Joey Votto will get better calls than the rook. That's the way it goes in baseball. Ryan says, love the sport, but the bias towards the top teams and drivers is ridiculous. I'm over the inconsistent NASCAR. Gotta agree with you. I gotta agree with you. Look, again, every sport is biased. It is, I think it's very fair to say Tom Brady got some leniency that other quarterbacks would not have get. I said previously on the show a few weeks ago, Joe Burrow's had moments where he said a ref told him you're too young to get that call. Well, that shouldn't matter. Yeah. We know that LeBron James is, if he says there was a foul there, he's much more likely to turn it into a foul. We saw the late great Kobe Bryant do that as well. We saw Michael Jordan do that as well. Every sport has got bias to it. I want to be fair to NASCAR in that sense.
It's true. Yeah.
But when it's this blatant, it's hard to not have a bitter taste in your mouth with it.
I'm seeing that Bob Pockrass reported about 45 minutes ago that colleague racing president Chris Rice is likely going to take this case to the final appeals officer. So I actually didn't realize that there's another appeal process.
I didn't know we had a Supreme Court, to be honest with you.
I know. Yeah. So this might not be the end of this, but yeah, that's It's a strange one. I got no answers.
Yeah, it is. It's absolutely on its face. It's baffling.
Yeah.
All right. Other big news, and feel free to keep commenting on that, folks. We'll try to get to your comments. NASCAR teams boycott the quarterly meeting with NASCAR over revenue talks. This is getting ugly.
Yeah.
This is getting ugly. I am hopeful. And Adam, do you want to give us some more details of how that went down?
Exactly. I only briefly read this too, so this is also somewhat new today. From my understanding is that they have these quarterly meetings, and while they weren't necessarily scheduled to talk about revenue in this meeting, I guess the teams were feeling unhappy over recent talks about revenue. And so in an effort to like make a point about it, they've decided to boycott today's meeting. So I don't think there was like, oh, something is going to be discussed in today's meeting that they really don't want to talk about or are upset about. It was more like a united front sort of statement.
Well, here's my hope. And Ryan says they hope Kali gets her points back. They definitely have a case now with HMS getting all their points back. I can't disagree with that. I mean,
agree too. Yeah.
I just cannot disagree with that. And look, HMS is the greatest team this sport has ever seen. There's a reason they're closing in on 300 wins. We got to give them their flowers. But we're supposed to live under the one, you know, if it's one for you, it's one for all. Now, I know that's a bit of a delusional prospect, and we have to be fair to that as well. But again, this blatant, it leaves a bitter taste. It's a tough pill to swallow. I can only imagine how Chris Rice and the people at Colleague feel at this moment. But back to this meeting.
Yeah.
Look, I hope it's growing pains. Sometimes that's the way it goes. We see it often where in our society, look, baseball just had an ugly, ugly dispute last year. There was a lockout for 2 weeks, and it looked like it was going to go a lot further than a two-week lockout. They got to figure it out. We see often when we are on the brink of a catastrophe with our debt ceiling in this country, it doesn't look like we're going to get it figured out, and then all of a sudden we get to the 11th hour and we get it figured out. Sometimes it takes these strong statements, these strong moments of solidarity to make people go, all right, we gotta look at this from a different angle. Maybe we're not gonna get everything we want, but we gotta get it, you gotta get the lines of communication open. And sometimes it takes something strong like this to do that. My hope is that this happens. From NASCAR's perspective, I understand what where they're at, but from the team perspective, I understand where they're at. Frankly, this sport, in my opinion, and I want to stress this is my opinion, it does not represent the views of Racing Refresh as a whole or anything like that. In my opinion, this sport makes too much money in this era, and too many teams still go under or have to sell or have to merge or have to do this and fight to survive. And yet this sport is making buku money, and yet year after year, we see a team either have to sell a charter, they got to merge, they got to do this. How many teams in the last 5 years have we seen either merge or go under entirely? The list is quite wide.
Yeah.
And now none of them are hugely funded teams. But let's be honest, the reason that a Roush Fenway Keselowski Racing is now RFK. 10 years ago, this was a premier team in this sport, arguably better than Hendrick Motorsports.
Well, any number higher than zero is a problem.
Yeah, I got to agree with you. And look, I understand that sometimes people go under. It happens. And that's an unfortunate part of business. And so I'll even give them grace on the any number higher than one.
But
the amount is far too many. I guess
the question is, sorry, I'm cutting you off. The question is it going under because of mismanagement or because the revenue sharing model is not sustainable for the teams?
I think it has to be a little bit of both. I mean, the reality is there are those that have managed to stay alive through all the Wood brothers come to mind.
Yep.
By hook or by crook, somehow or another, they are the, and we love this, don't get me wrong. So when I say this, this is not disparaging to the Wood brothers, but they are in many ways the cockroach of NASCAR. They find a way to survive. And so we have to give them credit to that. But
I'm sure they would love that comparison.
What else do you call it? I mean, I guess I could have called them the Keith Richards or Willie Nelson.
Just say they're very resilient.
And props to them. But yeah. So many teams, there's a reason Legacy Motor Club was once Petty Enterprises, and then it was Richard Petty Motorsports, and then it was Petty GMS. Is some of that the questionable business skills of one Richard Petty? Fine, I'll give you that. But also, this team continues to merge and make changes after a year after they've had successes and wins. I get NASCAR's point. You got to be a profitable business, but let's not forget what makes the business go. And so you got to find a middle ground there. And hopefully this is the start to that. What are your thoughts on it, Adam, before we move along?
Yeah, I don't know. I hope that they can just come to an agreement that both sides are happy with, that's the end. I don't want to have any sort of lockout with NASCAR at the start of next year. And I want the sport to just keep going and keep getting better. And, part of that might be that NASCAR has to let go of a little bit of the revenue share that they're getting. And, who knows? This could all just be posturing at this point, just to in the negotiations. And, maybe 2 weeks from now they sign a deal and it's all, a moot point. Yeah,
I don't think there's reason to be majorly concerned yet. Know when it's hitting the red button time.
Agreed.
But still, hopefully this is growing pains and opens those lines of communication. All right, got to come to you on this one. Martin Truex Jr. and James Small had some, our producer would call it some tea, sis. James Small did not tell Martin Truex that he was on scuffed tires for that final restart. He did not bother to tell his driver. His going to the Hall of Fame driver, his trying to get back in victory lane driver, his one of the all-time great driver, that you're on scuffed tires on the final restart, a spot where you technically have a chance to win. He didn't bother to mention that. What are your thoughts on this situation as the resident Marty fan of Racing Refresh? I can't believe it.
It was also a little baffling. I guess this past couple weeks has been just a couple of weeks of being baffled for me. I think part of me can understand that, I don't fault James Small for the tire situation. I think Richmond is such a coarse track, clearly at this point, that the tires were only six laps old and it made a huge difference. He finished in 11th after restarting, I believe, third. So, six lap old tires, you would think that shouldn't make a huge difference, but it clearly did at Richmond. And I don't necessarily fault James Small, the crew chief for Martin Truex Jr., for getting into that situation where, every time there's a caution, you're putting four fresh Mr. Feelgoods on, as you like to say, Logan. Like, that is a winning strategy. And unfortunately, another late caution came out in the race and they had no tires left. And okay, fair enough. That's a problem. And I don't necessarily fault James Small for that. I don't fault them for that strategy call, because I think earlier in the race, you think, yeah, we'll throw on new tires. You don't want to give up any advantage that early on. However, not telling him that he's got six lap old tires. And at this point, at this point in the race, at the very end, they know that that's going to make a huge difference. This is not like, oh, we won't tell him because maybe he won't notice. Like, it was clear already based on tire degradation throughout the rest of the race. So you don't tell him because you don't want to piss him off. I mean, he got pretty pissed off anyways. And maybe does that change how he drives those last few laps, knowing that he's in defense mode instead of I'm just going for the win, right? So definitely a bad call on James Small for not telling Martin Truex Jr. about this. But I've seen some calls for we got to fire James Small. This will be his head. I don't necessarily fault him for getting to that place in the first place. I think it was just a bad call in that moment to not tell him.
Well, again, as we said with the negotiations of the revenue sharing, same thing here. Hopefully this big blow up, and we can't give you the quotes, folks, not if we're trying to stay respectable. Hopefully this big blow up opens those lines of communication. Everybody always freaks out when when there's a huge argument between colleagues in a public sport. Everybody freaks out. But we act like we don't do it in our personal lives, where sometimes that nasty argument that maybe we you know, that stinks, you had it, but maybe that was what was necessary to have. We act like we don't do that in our own personal lives. We all do. True. I do. I've had some knockdown drag them outs with some people from a verbal standpoint. And in the end, I think it's gotten us to a better place. And if it hasn't, guess what? We're going to keep trying to get there.
And your argument is not broadcast live on the NASCAR app, right, or, you know, an app that has millions of users listening live at that same time. So
I will say this. I will say this in defense of the let's have Small's head people in their defense. The numbers for Truex with Small versus Cole Perrin, everybody says Cole Perrin, like CW, is night and day. Is night and day. It is night and day. They're not awful. They're not, you know, they're not embarrassing. But for someone of his caliber, for someone that was on such a stretch, for someone that was a perennial championship contender, there is a noticeable drop off. This is also not their first year together.
Yeah, no, they've been together a while now.
This is too deep in that relationship to have that communication issue.
Mm-hmm.
It might be time for a change of scenery. Not because sometimes relationships just don't click.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I don't know if Martin Truex is still an elite driver, but the changes in numbers from Perrin to James Small is certainly something that gives, I don't know, some credence to the thought of maybe James Small is an issue, because it is a dramatic drop off.
Well, how about this? I'm gonna crunch some numbers here for a second. And while I do, I'm going to ask you about your team, Legacy Motor Club.
Yeah.
Because while I'm doing this, I want you to talk a little bit about Bruce Mosley. Is that how you say his name?
Yeah, that'd be it. Bruce Mosley. He's one
of the leading members of LMC. And he is no longer with the organization. He left.
Yes, he was. He was on the job. He got the job February 1st. He got the job February 1st, ladies and gentlemen. We are, let me check, at live recording. We are Wednesday, April 5th, 9:20 p.m. Eastern time. So that's 6:20 in Canada land over there. 2 months is all he was on the job. Let's be honest. You will not find a more positive Legacy Motor Club fan than I. But it's without catastrophic failure, it's hard to describe a worse start, other than, you know, hey, we're putting the team out there, and, you know, we're racing. It's hard to describe a worse start. The year got started with Richard Petty making some comments on disagreeing with Jimmy Johnson. They lost Focus Factor. It was essentially just announced this week that they had lost Tide and Gain, because they're going to be on the colleague cars this weekend. If you are counting Eric Jones as sponsored with Allegiant, that's fine. But if you're not, then 6 of the 8 races for the 43 are not sponsored, because Maury Gallagher is, I believe, the chairman of the board of Allegiant Airlines. Now, granted, he's got some deep pockets, so, I mean, it ain't the end of the world. But they're losing sponsorship. And the fascinating and the word of the week continues to be perplexing is this is coming off a year where the 43 was objectively the best it's been in a decade. Eric Jones got in victory lane. It was Southern 500, his second win, the 200th win for the 43. This is absolutely baffling. They bring Jimmy Johnson in that you thought would bring a bunch of excitement, a bunch of attention. It hasn't, you know, other than, you know, he did get Guns N' Roses to sponsor the 43 and Wendy's to sponsor the 42 at Daytona. Other than that, it hasn't shown itself to be very successful. He has brought in Club Wyndham that is on the 43 this weekend. but he did not finish Daytona. He wrecked on lap one at COTA. We're losing an executive. Richard Petty seems unhappy, or did a few months ago. It's been 2 months. We don't know where he stands now. It just is, as far as a new experiment that had a lot of excitement based on last year's improved results, the best for the 43 in arguably a decade, it's hard to envision a worse start with as much hype and as much promise as it was coming out of 2022. You were there to cover the announcement, Adam, of Jimmy Johnson and Richard Petty coming together, and they're gonna be on the same team, and all golly day shucks, here we go. Hard to picture. I don't like where they're at right now. I don't like where they're at. Have you crunched the numbers for me?
I have, yeah. Sorry to bring it back to Martin Truex. I was just comparing years with Cole Pearn versus years with James Small. So with James Small, he's got 5 wins, and his average finish is 13.17. With Cole Pearn, he has an average finish of 11.2 and 24 wins. So yeah, a marked difference for sure. You're looking at average finish of two positions better with Cole Pearn, which doesn't seem like a whole lot, but it can make a huge difference. And 24 wins to 5, that's a big difference. So
yeah, so you and I are hoping for better days for our beloved fandoms, because you and I, we're riding it out. We're like Pete Seeger. We shall overcome someday. We're waiting on it. You know that classic Pete Seeger reference right here on the podcast. How about that? Did you ever think that would happen?
It's lovely. Yeah.
Greetings from the most magical place on earth. See you guys next week. I believe that's one Colin Baster.
Yeah. Man. Now, I was going to wait till the end, but I think that's a good segue here. We should talk a little bit about where he is. Well, he's just announced that he's at the most magical place on earth. He's in Disney World. Yeah. And he had some exciting news this past weekend. He and his lovely gal, Emily, got engaged.
Yeah, looky there. Look at that rock.
My goodness.
Boy, I got to get my salary out from this race.
I was going to say, it's not be coming from his Racing Refresh salary.
Yeah, that's we got to talk at him. I'm not quite an original, but I'm damn near close. I'm like the Mountain Dew. I'm like Mountain Dew Code Red Racing Refresh. If the green is the original, I'm next. Yeah. We're going to talk about my salary here.
Okay, yeah. We'll work on it.
That was how it worked. I think Code Red was next, and then they had Livewire. I think that's how that went down.
You would know better than I do.
I do love my caffeinated beverages. Yes, yeah. Colin did confirm that was him. Miss you, buddy. Looking forward to seeing you back next week.
And congratulations again. Very cool.
He said it was all the pennies he made. Are you paying him pennies? I'll tell you, man, we got to talk.
I think he might have found some in the couch, but.
Yes, God, I love the Race and Refresh team couch.
There you go. All right,
but yeah, so Martin Truex, James Small drama, Legacy Motor Club off to a shaky start. But here, I like to be positive. It is early. It is early. Everything is going to be all right. Hashtag stacking pennies. All right. We got to get to moving. Let's make some pit road picks. There we go. Looky.
All right. We're going to do lightning round here, Logan, because it's just you and I, and we are running short on time. We got too busy talking about our faves. All right. Well, we're going to Bristol Dirt this weekend. So who will finish the best out of all the dirt guys in the Cup Series? So we've got some guys who have a dirt background. Here's our old fearless leader, Mr. AJ Appeal, talking about NHRA. Of course, this is the time he tunes in just to see that we've run out of time to talk about NHRA. Promise next week we're gonna get there. We're gonna talk all about it.
I'll tell you what, I love him in the presidential desk there, the founder. That's good stuff.
Yeah, that's good, eh? Okay. Dirt guys, who's gonna finish best out of the dirt guys? We're talking like Christopher Bell, Chase Briscoe, Kyle Larson.
I know that Larson just comes off the win, but it still hasn't been his usual start to the season. The most consistent seems to be old C. Bell for JGR. That's who I'm going to go with. The consistency's strong.
See, now you've chosen who I was going to pick, and then AJ now is just, now he's just trolling us. That's good, eh? It is good, eh? Okay, will Kyle Busch go back to back? Because Kyle Busch was our Bristol Dirt winner last year.
Look, last year he was at the right place, right time, as we've talked about. I'm going to say no, because if Briscoe and Reddick don't trade some paint, it don't happen. So I'm going to say no.
Yeah, I'm going to say yes. You know, I think as much as the dirt, as much as the dirt is going to like totally throw a wrench into what Bristol is, Kyle Busch is just good at Bristol. You know, it's like a Busch brother thing. And yeah, I don't know. I'm not going to say he's going to go back to back, but I think he'll have a solid finish. Will we see a first time winner on Sunday? Will we get a first time winner?
I think it's very possible. Dirt is a great equalizer. We know that. Funding, it's similar to Daytona and Talladega in the sense of funding doesn't mean a ton. It's if you know what you're doing on that dirt, you can get it done. I'm going to say no, but I'm not going to be surprised if I'm wrong for once.
Well, it might not even be a case of whether you know what you're doing on dirt, but like, does someone else really not know what they're doing on dirt in front of you, or, you know, taking out some people that do know what they're doing? I'm just like looking at on heat. Who's still winless? We got Corey LaJoy. We got Harrison Burton. I don't know. Ryan Preece.
Ryan Preece could get it done.
Yeah, I could see that.
Ryan Preece could get it done.
We got Ty Gibbs or Noah Gragson or rookies. It could be done. I called it lightning round and now I'm talking too much. Does William Byron get a top five? He's had quite the season.
I'm going to say no. He started strong, but again, dirt's the great equalizer, and there tends to be some craziness that happens at this race. It's crazy that we race on Easter Sunday now after so long not doing it. So I'm going to say no.
Here's an interesting little tidbit for you. Again, I'm doing a terrible job of lightning round, but that's fine. It's my show. I can do what I want. William Byron, this is not even his best career year yet.
Well, it feels like it is.
I know, right? Doesn't it? Like
that 24 is out front like it's 2001 or something, or 99. It's just insane.
So William Byron has two wins, obviously, but finished 34th at Daytona, finished 25th. And then 32nd on, at Atlanta. So his average finish is 17.4, and his best year was 2 years ago, 13.6. So he's still got room to grow. It's crazy.
Well, at the rate he's growing, all right, he's growing like a weed these last several weeks.
Does Joey Logano get a top 10?
I put that one in there for Ryan Hill. No, no, he doesn't.
Just so you can say no. I'll say yes. I'll throw Ryan a bone there. Very good. That kind of almost is our weekend preview, because honestly, here we can throw to the weekend preview graphics here, but that's all there is. We got NASCAR Cup and Trucks.
There's not a lot to give you because this is still a new experiment. I think we probably should end the experiment and get on a real dirt track, but I like the novelty of it. My only complaint of it truly is this. It's a little short. It's a little short, and that's the way it goes. But I think it's a little short, but when you're racing on Easter Sunday, it's kind of got to be. So,
yeah.
You know, for years we didn't race on Easter Sunday, and we didn't race on Mother's Day, and tradition be damned, we're going to do some dirt racing. Look,
It's
the way it goes.
That's the way it goes.
Do you think this dirt race is a little short?
I would watch like a 12-hour NASCAR race. So,
that's a fair point.
Yeah, sure, it is short, but yeah. I mean,
the 12 hours of Atlanta, that would be great.
So is the Coca-Cola 600, if you ask me. So, no, I don't know. It could be a little longer, but. I don't know. It's good to have some variance, I think. Some races longer, some not so long.
All right. I understand what you're talking at. You got any truck picks for me?
I don't know. Haley Deegan's going to excel on the dirt. There you go.
We'll see what happens.
I don't know. I'm going to interrupt for 1 second. I know we're running short on time. I'm just seeing some breaking news here from Jenna Fryer of AP. Lucy Foyt, the wife of Indy 500 winner AJ Foyt, has passed away at age 84. So that's some sad news there. But 84 is certainly nothing to scoff at.
I'm sorry to hear that. Of course, yeah. AJ has played such a pivotal point in all of motorsports. And our best wishes and thoughts and prayers go out to him. You lose your lifelong companion. I can't imagine it.
Yeah,
that's got to be tough. Hopefully, as a person of faith, hopefully the good Lord can wrap them up in comfort. Sorry to hear that news.
Yeah. All right. We are like running out of time. We're almost out of time. We got to get our racing refresh picks in. I know it's just you and I, Logan, but we've got the picks from our missing folks here. So maybe throw that graphic up on the screen and we'll lightning round this and then we'll wrap things up. So Richmond picks. Logan wins it. You pick Christopher Bell. You know, I thought I was like really solid picking William Byron. And then, of course, your guy, Christopher Bell, spins my guy in the dying moments there.
We
probably takes a win away from my other guy, Martin Truex. And so I came last again. This is now the third week in a row that I've come last. So it seems clearly that picking first is not any advantage to me, but
because you're too nice. And what happens to nice guys?
I finish last, I guess. Uh-huh. Well, if that's the price, then I'll do it. It's okay. I am going to pick. Oh gosh, I'm gonna pick Chase Briscoe.
Not a bad pick. I used him earlier in the in the season. Not a bad pick whatsoever.
Our next pick is producer Peggy. AJ's choosing Robert Hight to win it all. I must say, we were definitely head over heels watching Robert Hight win that race. First win of the year for John Force Racing, and we maybe have a little bit of a bias there. But yeah, congrats to Robert Hight.
Glad the boss producer man's okay with that scare wreck.
I know, yeah. No kidding, eh? Yeah, had a bit of an interesting trip down the straight line there. I don't know. Yeah.
The strip.
Down the strip. Thank you. Yes. Producer Peggy's picking Christopher Bell. All right. And from our newly engaged Mr. Colin Best, he has told us he is picking JJ Yaley in the number 15 for Rick Ware. So there you go. That leaves our last pick to you, Logan.
Why not Tyler Reddick? He's off real strong. He's having a good year. We know he was successful here last year until the kerfluffle at the at the end of the race. Yep. So yeah, let's go Tyler Reddick.
Nice pick. Okay. Well, that is you know what it's time for.
Look, all great shows must come to an end, and all mediocre ones should too. The only way to get to episode 9 is do 8 of them. So let's wrap this thing up with a little bit of closing time. So, all right, with that, look, it's Bristol Dirt Weekend. Adam, any final thoughts, any final words?
There you go. Clay Milligan also races for Rick Ware in the number 51 drag car. Obviously, I knew that. I was just about to say that in my closing time remarks, but AJ just beat me to it, of course. It's been a pleasure doing the show with you here today, Logan, and thanks for making it easy on me because I'm not the best at being on camera. It's not my favorite job, but Colin, congratulations, and thanks, Logan, for making this a breeze this week.
Well, I appreciate your kind words, even if they are fabrications. I appreciate that so much. If there's one thing I love to do, folks, it's talk. So with that, look, whether you celebrate or you don't celebrate Easter, I hope and pray that you have a wonderful, wonderful holiday weekend. I hope you spend some time with friends. And again, if you do celebrate, I hope you reflect on the true meaning of Easter and thank the good Lord for that. So with that, look, as our founder says, smile, be happy. And until then, and to our friends to the south, I can't pronounce all that. So we'll see you next week. Thank you so much for tuning in. Until then, we'll see you at the next track.